Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dickerson Cowell is here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Coming up at around 9:20, Neil Walker, he will join the show. His brother-in-law got extended. Donnie Kelly, he is now the full-time manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. At 9:35, Jason Lockenfour, he joins the show. We'll take a trip around the NFL, ask him about the Baltimore Ravens and their situation. Listen to Starkey's Card of the Week every Wednesday to hear about listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 93.7.com contesting page. Travis Williams, president of the Pittsburgh Pirates, he spoke yesterday after Donnie Kelly was extended. Ben Cherington spoke yesterday. We heard from him a little bit ago about what the expectations are moving forward of the Pittsburgh Pirates, what the extension means for Don Kelly and the Pittsburgh Pirates, and just what they look to accomplish in 2026. There's a lot of hope out there, a lot of lip service going on out there, but let's see if they can back it up. They have this offseason to really surround Don Kelly and Paul Skeens with the adequate talent, the adequate roster, the adequate players to be a competitive baseball team. Here is Pirates president Travis Williams.
Travis, how would you assess this year as the Pirates franchise as a whole, on and off the field?
It was a very frustrating year in 2025, both on and off the field. That's not only the sentiment of Bob Nutting, but also myself and everybody else in the organization. We know we need to be better, and we will be better in 26.
What gives you the faith that Ben is the right general manager to make his team better in 26?
Well, our belief and expectation is that this team is a lot closer than our performance and our records would suggest. Our goal is to win in 26 and make the playoffs, period, full stop. And we know that, with that in mind, we know that, we need to build on the momentum that we've already built, that we already have, and moving forward. We have the best young pitching staff in all of baseball. We've got a great core of young position players. In addition to that, we have one of the best farm systems in baseball and the top prospect in baseball. And at the same time, we know that we need to be better. We need to do things differently this offseason. We need to make sure that we're making the changes within baseball operations to be able to provide our players with the support that they need in order to be able to perform at an optimal level. And we also know at the same time that we need to be able to acquire or build on our offense. And we're going to do that through trades or through through acquisitions, trades or free agency acquisitions. And we need to be willing to do that aggressively and decisively through this offseason.
When you say that you believe you're not far away, could you understand how some people would be skeptical to hear that? Because the record is worse this year. And, yeah, there are some players that are close, but a lot of the high-ranked prospects aren't that close. What do you say to people who might disagree with your assessment?
I think you have to look at what we have in terms of talent. Again, building off of one of the best young pitching staffs in all of baseball, but we knew we fell short offensively. We had an historically bad offensive year, but those are things that can be course corrected, and we believe that we have the ability to do that this offseason. We've given ourselves the flexibility at the trade deadline in terms of payroll, and we believe that we have the ability to go out and add, and we have pitching depth that we can use in order to turn that into hitting depth.
You've one of the lowest payrolls in all of baseball. How much do you feel like you've actually provided the resources for this to be a winning organization?
We have sufficient resources to be able to go out and build a team that can make the playoffs in 2026. It's not a resource issue. Now we just need to go out and execute.
So when you say sufficient,
will Major League payroll increase this year?
We're not going to speak to payroll. We never have in the past. But we have the resources sufficient to be able to win and make the playoffs in 2026.
How do you define that being sufficient? What quantifies that?
Again, I'm not going to speak to quantification of payroll. There's lots of things that go into making sure that you're able to be successful in a season. That includes adding, again, taking from a position of strength, pitching, and being able to turn that into hitting. There's opportunities there. It's not just a matter of what you're adding in terms of payroll and free agency acquisitions.
But
there's lots of ways you can do that. And in addition to that, we need to be able to make the changes in inside of baseball operations to continue to improve and allow our players to continue to improve at the major league level and have success at the major league level.
But on the note, you're saying it's sufficient. The past records would show that they're insufficient. You haven't won a division since 1992. So how do you say that it's sufficient?
Feel confident that it's sufficient to be able to be successful and make the playoffs in 2026.
Okay. Travis, specifically with Ben, what are the traits that you like about him or tells you that he's the guy going forward?
I think remains
the guy going forward.
Well, I think given where this team is at this point in time, the strengths that we have in terms of our pitching staff, the young core position players that we have, and what we have in terms of our farm system coming up, we felt at the end of the day that making a change as a general manager would set us back. That's not what our fans expect. That's not what we expect. We're looking in 2026 to make the playoffs, period, full stop. And so we did not want to veer from that, and we're pushing it all in and making sure that we are able to make the playoffs in 2026.
Travis, there was a lot of stuff, especially early in the year. You guys had some off the field, some stuff, you know, from the sign to the bricks, et cetera. Fans got upset. You know, fans may have lost trust in the organization. What is the organization doing to make sure that that side of the business doesn't make those errors again? And what do you say to people that might say that we just don't trust that the organization maybe has our best interests in mind?
Well, first of all, we start day in and day out with the fans first. That's always a fans first mentality. We did have some unforced errors early in this year. We own them. We course corrected, made the adjustments that we needed to make internally and externally, fixing those mistakes that we made. And that starts with me. It's really on me at the end of the day, and I owned it, and the organization owns it, and we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
On the note of the organization, players themselves have been critical of the state of this organization. What is your response to that?
Just like our fans, our players deserve to have an organization that they can be proud of and that gives them the opportunity to come out every day and play to the best of their ability. And as you heard Ben say earlier and you heard me say, we're going to provide all the resources that are necessary to make sure that that happens.
You say make the period, the playoffs period, full stop. Next year will be Ben's seventh. Is it fair to say that, forgive the phrase here, that you guys are sort of on the clock? Like, it can't just be, we have the potential to do X, we have the potential to Y, that if you guys, you have the feeling that if you don't get to X or Y next year, that there will be changes that will be beyond just sort of making a full-time manager?
Listen, I came here to win. Came here 6 years ago to win. Came from an organization that won. I know what it takes. We haven't done it yet. At the same time, I'm not thinking about whether I'm on the clock or not. I'm here every day showing up, making sure that we do everything we can to win. Ben is doing the same. Everybody else in this organization is doing the same.
This Pirates Talk is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Callis, so if you are a free agent out there and you happen to be made aware of Noah's article yesterday and the question that Noah asked in that interview about players talking bad about the Pirates organization, would that make you want to sign with the Pirates even if the money was where you wanted it to be? Like, I mean, guys talk, you know, players talk. Like, that would scare me away if I heard that there's internal players talking the way that they're talking about that organization. Do you think that matters to free agents?
I mean, it's difficult because, like, you know, I don't know what that feels like. I mean, you've been there. You've done that. I mean, to be able to make millions playing baseball, if I was getting the highest paycheck from the Pirates that I could possibly get, I mean, I feel like it would be miserable for the season at times, but, like, you're still playing baseball. You're still making that money. So the hypothetical, I mean, personally for me, I'd chase the money. I don't think that the Pirates did anything that was so bad that money wouldn't solve my issues or my quarrels. Now, if you're not getting paid and it's a bad organization, then you got problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net.
Can I ask you a question here real quick, though?
Yes.
I mean, since you played in the NFL, just to kind of relate this to the Pirates, but from your experiences, what would it take for a team to do or have a reputation of that would make the money not worth it? Because you were there. You've done the negotiating. You've done the business.
Losing?
So you wouldn't go to a place...
If I knew I was going to lose, it would have to be a huge amount of money. I even said to Jeff earlier, like, remember he asked about, you know, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and how they're feeling right now playing for the Cincinnati Bengals, knowing that they're probably not going to win that many football games this year with Joe Burrow being out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's a lot easier because of the contracts that they signed in the offseason. Like, the money would have to be very significant for me to endure. And the baseball season's so long, it's different than football.
But I mean, money's no object here. Like what would it take where the money wouldn't be worth it? You're getting paid what you want to get paid. You're getting paid higher than any other offer you could possibly get anywhere else. What would it take non-money related for you to say no to a contract then? Like, what kind of reputation would a team have to have? What kind of conditions would there have to be? Like, what would make the gigantic contract not worth it?
Facilities, things of that nature. Facilities, you know, hearing about bonus being taken away, like, you know, who was it? Telez, what, a year or two ago.
Whatever. They released him a week before the season.
Right. Like, if I was up and I needed like a hit or two and I got sent down to the minors or something like that, like hearing stuff like that, I would not want to be a part of that. But also, I want to be comfortable if I'm going to be basically living in a city. I want to be comfortable in that city. Like, if I was a baseball player, I would want to go somewhere where it's warm all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, thinking about playing baseball at the end of March and April in Pittsburgh.
Wouldn't be.
I mean, we were freezing opening day. Like, that wouldn't be enticing to me. That would not be enticing to me. If I was going, I'd go play for the Marlins first. If I knew that,
They lose.
Yes.
Very consistently.
Yes, because of the weather.
Though they made the playoffs more recently than the Pirates.
Because of the weather.
Yeah.
And I would look at the trends. Like, I would be like, all right, if I'm going to sign like a 3-year, 4-year, 5-year deal or whatever, I'd be like, are we going to be good in year 4 or 5? Or are we going to be good in year 3? Like, how long? I'd look around at, like, positionally, be like, how long is it going to take for us to actually play competitive baseball, even though that we're bad now? I would be like, okay, like, I see that we have this in the farm system. I see that we have young pitching coming up. I see that we have, you know, a couple young studs that are a part of the lineup every night. Like, I would look at that stuff, and that would determine where I probably would go to.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's good to think about, because if we're thinking about what other players may be thinking as they're perceiving the Pirates, I mean, money could solve a lot.
It also would depend on...
It might not be able to solve everything, though.
Like, if it depends on how many options I have, too. Like, if it was my only option, clearly, like, I would have to take that if I still want to play baseball.
Right.
But if I had, like, 2 to 3 other options... Probably going to go to the other options.
We're talking about, because the Pirates need players that are primed right now. So we're saying, like, you know, what would decentivize an in their prime hitter from joining the Pirates if money were no object? Because right now it just seems like money is the issue for players coming here, because they're not getting compensated like they should be compared to other offers the league may be giving them.
Is that in knowing that you don't have a good chance of winning. Like, every player wants to win.
You get a player in their prime. I mean, you got to think about that, too. Like, player in their prime.
If I already won, if I already have, like, a World Series under my belt, it'd make things easier.
But what if you're in your prime, too, and you know, like, hey, me being on this team could help based on what they have around them? Could play a factor in the decision, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can
see
that.
Like, what could my impact be on the Pirates?
I could see that, but I just... It's a lot of games and a lot of travel and a lot of time to not win. Like, you think about the Rockies, like that is a tough situation. Like, it's hard to wake up and go to the ballpark and know that you probably don't have a chance at winning every other night.
You know, I'll give you that. I mean, I played for a couple, like, travel teams that were no good, and it was miserable playing in those
miserable
tournaments. Like, by the time late June, early July came around, it was miserable to keep going out there and pitching, knowing, like, ah, man,
because
no matter what I throw, we're going to lose.
Even if I was, like, especially if I was looking for, like, another contract after my stop here, like, it would be harder to get another contract with us losing, even if I played decent. Like, it'd be harder to play good on a bad team to get another contract than to, you know, be on a good team and play good. I'd probably be better situated to get another contract after that.
What if you get paid a mega contract and then get traded if the team doesn't turn out well? Is that ever something that would cross your mind?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would weigh all the options, but it really would come down to how much money that would get and are we going to actually win at some point while I'm there. That's what it will come down to. All right, coming up next, Neil Walker. He joins the show. Brother-in-law, Donnie Kelly, extended full-time manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll talk to Neil. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Dickerson Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. And on the hotline right now is our guy, Neil Walker. Neil, good morning. How you doing, man?
Doran, I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I know that you're probably doing better than me. Your family member and brother-in-law just got extended by the Pittsburgh Pirates. He is now the full-time manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Don Kelly. Neil, whenever you found out about the news, what was the reaction of your family and what was the reaction of Donnie Kelly knowing that he is going to be the full-time manager of the Pirates?
Yeah, man, what an exciting day for him and for my sister and their boys and, you know, any of us kind of involved from in arm's length in the Pirates organization and family members and all that. You know, we've seen the work that Donnie's put in, not just from a coaching and aspect, but from a playing aspect. He was always the guy that was kind of the last man on the roster, and he had to find ways to kind of survive, per se, day in and day out. And I think that gave him a great perspective on what's important in the game of baseball and how to go about your business. And, you know, I've said it before that some of the best coaches and managers that I've ever had were guys that were cut from the same cloth as Donnie. These guys that maybe were utility guys or catchers and guys that were forced to kind of look at the game in a different way than a lot of players. And, you know, obviously there were some ups and downs during the course of his tenure, but boy, you can really pull a lot of things, especially being as close to the team as I've been and a lot of other people. You could just feel the vibe of the players really reacting in a positive way to Donnie and his style of coaching and his way of communicating. You know, he's kind of a what I like to consider a pump your tires type of guy. He cares deeply. He cares about this organization, the city, the players. He wants to put them in the best situations to succeed. And you know, you love to see that, and you know that nothing would make him more happy than to see this thing turned around and for him to have a small hand in that.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We're joined right now on the Fan Morning Show by Neil Walker. Neil, with you knowing, obviously, Donnie Kelly so well, what can you say on the field-wise that he hangs his hat on? Like, what is at his core? What is the message that he's always kind of representing as a manager, like going into the 2026 season? And obviously he was there this past season, but like what is his theme? What's his common theme of being a manager, and what does he want to harp on and project to his roster?
Attention to detail is the first thing that comes to mind. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I guess per se, there's kind of a lot of eyewash at times that go on in spring training, as far as, which I'm sure you can relate to at times during, you know, football camps and going into the season and whatnot. But, you know, some of the best camps that I've ever been in were ones that were very detail-oriented. And so at times players can roll their eyes at doing bunt coverage or cutoffs and relays or pop-up priorities or pitchers doing PFPs. All of these things that over the course of 162-plus games are important. And I know with talking to Donnie and also seeing the work and the effort that he is trying to continue to instill, he's got a great group of guys. If you're down there, you know, if you're ever down there early before batting practice, especially at home games, these guys, the infielders are out there all the time taking ground balls, working on double plays, really paying attention to details. But more than that, you have to set that in stone on the very first day of spring training. And you got to let the minor league guys know that are there, the double A, triple A guys. This is how we do things. And in today's day and age where a lot of it is geared toward, you know, who can hit the ball the highest and the farthest on average, you know, what team can slug the most is going to be the most successful. That's not necessarily true. But, you know, looking at the Pirates roster right now and the things that they were lacking this year, it was obviously on the offensive side of things. So how do we score more runs is the question in my head. And the thing that I keep coming back to is you have to have guys buy into situational baseball, to understanding what their roles are and how to get the most out of it. And he's got guys that are able to do that. I'm sure we're going to add in some form or fashion this offseason to hopefully some significant offensive pieces. But you have to be willing to grind. You have to be willing to take at-bats that aren't necessarily individual at-bats. We call them team at-bats.
Neil, let's say that you just signed a long-term contract with the Pirates. You signed it today. And you look at the roster and you look at the capabilities of what this Pirates organization can be in, let's say, 5 years while you're still on the roster. How far away, whenever you look at O'Neill Cruz, you look at Paul Skeens, you look at Brian Reynolds, and you look at Don Kelly, that is now the manager, how far away do you think the Pirates actually are? If you were a player on the roster, you're looking around, how far away are they to actually being competitive in your mind?
I honestly think that they are not that far away. You know, obviously we did not see O'Neill Cruz have a season that we thought he was going to. He started out of the gates pretty hot. We were talking about possibly a 40-40 season. That didn't happen. Reynolds started off slow and really didn't necessarily pick it up until after the All-Star break. Nick Gonzalez had some ups and downs. Spencer Horowitz played better the second half of the year. But in my head, there's just a few too many holes on that offensive side of things. You have too many guys that you just don't 100% see where exactly they fit. You know, I'll give you an example. In 13, 14, 15, we had, you know, a really good spread out group of young guys, in the middle of their career and some guys in the end of their career. We had guys that knew exactly what was being asked them. You know, Jordy Mercer knew that he was going to hit eighth in front of the pitcher every single day and play shortstop. And he knew that he might get one pitch to hit the entire day hitting in front of the pitcher, but he was going to grind out at bats. He was going to take his walks. He was going to try to pitch in where he could. If I was hitting in front of Andrew, if I was hitting second, it was my job to help set the table. So I think you're probably understanding what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That the roles of these guys, you have to have them buy in. You obviously have to have the talent on the roster, but you have to have these guys that are willing to say, okay, I'm hitting first or second in this order. My job is to get on base for 3, 4, 5. And if I'm hitting 3, 4, 5, my job is to slug and to drive in runs. And we just didn't necessarily see as many guys on the roster as I had hoped, and which I'm sure the Pirates had hoped, that kind of took the bull by the horns per se and said, okay, you know, this is my spot. You know, Spencer Horowitz, are you going to be a 2-hole hitter or a 5-hole hitter? So those are, I hope, are things that are addressed. And of course, as I mentioned, you hope that there's a couple significant offensive pieces added to this group. But, you know, you look at the pitching side of things, there's not much work to be done. This is a group that's as good as any that I've bear witness to.
Neil, you're the man. Appreciate you joining the show for a little bit, and congratulations to you and your family and Donnie Kelly. Appreciate you, man.
All right, Doran. Always great to chat with you, man. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Neil. Okay. There he goes, Neil Walker. Donnie Kelly, obviously his brother-in-law, getting extended by the Pittsburgh Pirates, now the full-time manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Neil has a lot of faith. I trust Neil. I mean, you know, I didn't even have to ask him the question about, adding to the roster. He automatically just came out and said, yes, you have to add to the roster. Clearly, everybody knows that. But will they do it? That's the question. Will they do it? That is the biggest question mark of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Coming up next, I said this yesterday, there's a little internal battle going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see how it plays out. And Jason Lockenfor will join us coming up next. Thorin Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Adam Crowley will be back tomorrow. And we're joined right now by Odyssey insider Jason Lockenfor, a host of the Odyssey original podcast, Wanna Bet. Listen to Wanna Bet now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or watch it live daily on Jason's X account. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Jason, how's the podcast going, man?
It's going well. We did well last night. Previous Thursday night and Monday night, we absolutely crushed it. Last night, we were profitable. Could have used Zach Taylor actually, you know, not conceding the entire second half. Like, maybe letting Browning throw. Like, what's going on at the end of that game where Denver's playing prevent, you throw the ball a couple times. Like, if you just want to quit, just run the ball, and punt. You throw it, you get into fourth and two, and then you decide – to punt rather than try to execute some semblance of a 2-minute offense because you haven't scored in like 3 weeks. I don't know. I thought we could get 10 points out of the Bengals last night. Shame on me. But no, it's going well. You guys can check it out on all the places that they told you there on the read.
That's great to hear, man. The Ravens, obviously we have to start there. Lamar Jackson is out. They're banged up all over the place. Roquan Smith is out. Ronnie Stanley got banged up. Marlon Humphrey got banged up. How much faith do you have in them rebounding, respawning at any point? I mean, they have a desperate Texans team coming up next as well. Looking bleak for the Ravens.
Yeah, I think they're in a lot of trouble. This is a must-win game because they get the Rams after that. And you can go back and look at the heights of this defense under Mike McDonald in the season where he ends up, you know, getting his pick of a couple different head coaching jobs. Sean McVay came into town in a rainy, like, late November day, and it was cold, and that's a dome team, and it was a 1 o'clock kickoff, and he did whatever he wanted to do against that version of a Ravens defense. And this ain't that. So that's what's looming, and then a bye, and then, you know, they get Chicago, which Caleb Williams might run for 125 yards on them. So, no, I think they better find a way to beat the Texans. You know, they want to complain about injuries and hide behind injuries. Like, dude, Ronnie Stanley couldn't get paid anywhere else because of his medicals. Like, you brought him back and you got him at a cheap rate because of his medicals. I mean, his career almost ended 3 years ago because of an ankle injury. Like, the fact that Ronnie Stanley is hurt and that it's a lower ankle type thing, I mean, that's part of why you got him where you got him. You know, some of these other guys, like, I think it just became a triage unit. Like, I think Harbaugh was like, get some of these guys off the field. Like, it's a joke with them. We can't risk any more injuries. But my favorite play of Sunday at WannaBet was Kansas City money line. Like, they don't beat Kansas City in the best of times. They sure as hell ain't beating them in the worst of times. And Andy Reid could have ran it all day on them. Like, he could have got under center with Pacheco and run it all day for 6 and 7 a carry. He just decided, I'm going to use this to inflate Mahomes' number. Like, let's let Pat throw for 4 or 5. Like, I'll save the rehabbing of the run game against some other Jamokes. Like, could I run it all day? Yeah, I'm not going to do it. Let's get Patty to throw 4 or 5 today. So they did it that way. No, they've got major issues on defense, and everybody and their mom came on my radio show for 6 months this offseason and told me DaCosta's the best GM in the league and it's the greatest roster in the league. And I said, well, if you don't have a fourth quarter defense and you don't have any closers, you don't have any natural pass rushers. Oh, and what happens if Madubuike gets hurt? Because they sat out a generational D tackle draft. Steelers grabbed a D tackle early, sat out a generational D tackle draft. So wait, Michael Pierce isn't here anymore. What happens if Madubuike gets hurt? Why aren't they re-signing Clowney? What about Za'Darius Smith as an extra inside pass rusher to help in sub packages? Oh, you don't need that because you got Mike Green? All right.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Jason, whenever we have this conversation on Tuesday in November, will we be seeing the same AFC North standings with the Steelers being at the top of the list? Do you believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers or are the Pittsburgh Steelers just lucking out by how bad the division has been?
Well, I mean, look, yes, when you're looking at a team through the sort of telescope of the division, you have to factor in who else is there and what their injury situation is. And are they front runners or do they overcome adversity? Do they cave when things get tough or do they bow up? Yeah, like last night, I did a little three-team futures parlay. Rams to win their division, Eagles to win their division, Steelers to win their division at plus 820. You could still get 2-1. Now, some books have taken the market down because of all these injuries with the Ravens and especially Lamar. But if you could still get 2-1. Like, I think I got it at plus 230 on Pittsburgh to win the division. Now, I'm already sitting on tickets at plus 150 Pittsburgh to make the playoffs. You know, I'm sitting on tickets, Pittsburgh to finish first, Baltimore to finish second in the division. You know, so do I have biases already, I guess, towards the markets not favoring the Steelers like they should? Because whatever you want to say about them, they win more regular season games than they lose. And now with the Bengals being a joke and the Browns don't have an offense. Like, could the Browns beat the Steelers 9-6? Like, maybe. Mm. But that's probably what it's going to take. And then looking at this situation with the Ravens where the bottom may fall out, yeah, I think a pretty, you know, pedestrian Steelers team could win that division.
Jason, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. There he goes, Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Jason is the host of the Odyssey Original Podcast. Want to bet? Remember to listen to Want to Bet on Spotify or Apple Podcast, or watch it live daily on Jason's X account. He's down on the Ravens, Callis. I would be too.
It's reasonable to be down on them.
Very reasonable.
There's so much promise, and yet they have one win in four games.
Yeah.
That's only 25% math.
Lamar Jackson being out. Cooper Rush is their backup. He looked awful. Absolutely awful whenever he got into the game the other day.
Wasn't he Dak Prescott's backup?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good call. Wow, look at you.
Looking at me. History.
Look at history. Yeah.
I'm paying attention.
Yeah. Who was the team before the Ravens came back? Who were they previously?
The Cleveland Browns.
That is correct.
Art Modell sold them. Oh, what a name. What a name by me.
Jeez. Where did Derrick Henry go to college?
I don't know. Ohio State.
No.
Triads.
That's a good guess, though. Went to Alabama. Alabama, it's pretty easy.
That's where Najee Harris went.
That is correct. That is correct.
Nick Saban. Oh!
Yeah. There you go.
That's enough.
Yeah, honestly, man, like the AFC North, like the Steelers might just luck out and just win it because of how bad it is. And we talked about that in the beginning of the season, and we never want to wish injuries on anybody, but I was like, could the Steelers fall into some luck and luck out? This is the scenario that was painted in my head. And I was like, the only way that the Steelers find themselves winning the division is if luck is on their side. And I said, injury luck. Nobody wants anybody to get hurt. I especially don't want to see anybody hurt. But Joe Burrow being out for 3 months, Lamar Jackson now being out for multiple weeks, the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. It's kind of shaping up where the Steelers, the only way that they don't win the division, in my opinion, if this trend keeps going with at least the Baltimore Ravens, is if they beat themselves, is if they lose games like next week, if they lose games against the Cleveland Browns, if they lose Thursday night against Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals, who have no defense and can't throw over 20 yards. Like, that's the only way that the Steelers won't be at the top of the division, I assume, it really, at this point.
Yeah, the things that concern me, I mean, do lucky teams win Super Bowls often? No. And the Steelers right now still to make too many mistakes for me to think that they could actually beat a team that is fully equipped.
We'll see. Steelers are feeling pretty good right now. I know that. Coming back from Ireland, having a bye week. Man, it's a decent situation to be in if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and being able to watch these games Sunday knowing that the AFC North opponents have tough opponents, all of them. So, good situation for the Steelers. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the show. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them today at awaken180weightloss.com. And social media's Biggest Loser is the Cincinnati Bengals. As Donnie Football tweeted 12 hours ago, the Bengals have been outscored 69-13 in their last six quarters. They stink. They are very bad on defense and now on offense. Callis, I'm going back to school.
Oh?
I'm going back to school. The University of Pittsburgh launches world's first center to study the horror genre. Oh, my goodness.
Boy, you missed by a few years.
Oh, my goodness. I would love to teach that class. Chris Valasek, good buddy of mine, big Pitt supporter, he tweeted me that. He said, we're going back to school. We're going back to school. He loves horror movies as well.
Can that you is master in horror?
I'm a master of horror, yes.
No, but I'm saying, can you master in it?
Like, that would be unbelievable.
That would be an excuse for you to go back, right?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. A lot of horror movies made here.
Don't take offense to this. Did you get a degree before?
Don't worry about my past, please. Okay. Please don't worry about my past.
Well, maybe you get a bachelor's in it, then. I'm just saying, if you want an excuse.
Are you excited for Crowley to come back tomorrow?
No. Look at me. You and I feel so much more relaxed, I think, when he's not here because there's nothing we panic about. We talk about the sports and then we go home.
It's true.
There's no, oh, what'd you see that shadow? Oh.
Freaking out.
Oh, what's on the television? Oh, my gosh.
Coughing, sneezing.
You know what I was thinking about? My daughters and stuff, and you know, oh, there's no ADHD on the show now.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. But we'll welcome it back tomorrow. It'll be back. Crowley will be back tomorrow. Donnie Football, I believe, is up next. Kallus, good job, man. We'll see you all tomorrow. First Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 80, low of 60, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 73, low of 63 with clear skies.